welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, taking a trip away from Halloween one last time. We're at the tail end of the Haddonfield saga.
I'm surprised, like, we're not doing Halloween 12, The Rash of Michael Myers today.
Of Michael Myers.
My mind is just going to mush after all these sequels.
I was talking to someone yesterday, and I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure I can get away with a murder. It came from out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't part of the conversation. It was just a random thought that I had brought up.
Yeah.
And after explaining what we had been doing, they were like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense that you would have been inundated with slashers.
That's how delusional you are, because these guys are the first people to get caught immediately staging their meat puppet victims in other rooms.
Well, with that attitude, they
but with the Haddonfield cops, right? You know, yeah, maybe, maybe then.
But so we are not doing Halloween today. A lot less blood and gore. We're going back to the Oscars section, and we're doing what might be our final Oscar trailer recap.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a few outliers yet. We're gonna bat around an MMO weekly thing down the line for you, so we may include more trailer reviews in those. This might be our last collage in the Oscars mural.
For what we're doing right now, this is definitely the final piece, and we're painting the final section of it, and these are probably at least the majority of this, the pictures you will have to worry about. Like also Mike just said, that we're going to have a couple straggling.
Well, the other fifthlies will, you know, contribute to the whole mural.
It's Mike in fractions is what it is. Yes. That's also Mike. I am Mike One, and let's get started right away without the big one that we saw came out about a week ago, and it's a big splash for Best Actor, certainly. Might contend in a couple other categories. Really looks great. We'll talk about Vice right now in the trailer for it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be called Backseat. Everybody did for a while. Sure. I think I like the Vice trailer, especially after that conversation with Sam Rockwell /W. You be my Vice?
So what do we think here? We going to do this thing?
You be my Vice. And that's all right. We remember George W., yeah. Colin Chaney. That's my Vice.
Yeah.
Remember that.
It's just a weird title because there's so many things with Vice out there. There's like a network named Vice.
So, all right. Vice is written and directed by Adam McKay from The Big Short. And somehow all of the Will Ferrell movies, like Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, Anchorman 2. He's also one of the executive producers and directors, creators of my new favorite show on HBO this past year, Succession.
Yeah, McKay's really done a lot to kind of get himself out of just the Talladega Night mold and become more of a well-rounded force.
Absolutely. And all of his stuff is still funny, too, which gives a lot of hope for this movie as well. So Christian Bale, plus 100 pounds, plays Dick Cheney.
God.
Amy Adams, Lily Robb, and Allison Pill play the Cheney family. Donald Rumsfeld is Steve Carell. W is Sam Rockwell. Colin Powell is Tyler Perry. Condoleezza Rice is Lisa Gay Hamilton. And Gerald Ford is Bill Camp. Bill Pullman and Jesse Plemons also have untitled roles in this movie as of now. Award circuit has Vice at 10th for Best Picture, 9th for Director, 4th for Actor. Supportings, they have Sam Rockwell in 6th, Steve Carell in 8th, Amy Adams in 15th, and 6th for Original Screenplay.
Amy Adams being 15th is kind of what I wanted to hit on first. A lot of people were waiting for this trailer. They knew it was a Christian Bale vehicle, but everyone assumed there was like this collective assumption that once this drops, Amy Adams is finally going to have her role to be crowned an Oscars winner. And then they saw the trailer and everyone was like, you'll get him next time, Amy. So it's kind of sad to see there. But I don't think this is her movie. It's not a Lynn Cheney movie.
That's what people are going on, though, the trailer.
Right.
So
who knows? Of course. Who knows? We won't know until we see it. What do you think about the trailer, Mike?
I hope it's 2 hours of Christian Bale doing this Dick Cheney impersonation. And I just love it.
It's uncanny.
Magnetic.
Really,
yeah. I mean, it's mimicry. They're going for mimicry here. But it's also something that gives you goosebumps. He's showing his, you know, full character there.
Sure.
Just in gestures. Again, I'm a sucker for grand gestures, and grand gestures by a thespian in particular.
I wonder how objective this role will be and how complimentary to the source this will be.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm getting the... Adam McKay isn't really a, let's say, Trump supporter.
No.
So but I can't imagine that viewing the GOP in this way is going to be handled by this guy is going to be an overly portrayal.
It'll be a little biased, perhaps, just a tad. But we have some serious Machiavellian politics going on here.
Of course we do.
You know, just that. I love a trailer that centers on one scene and that conversation between
I do too. I'm such a sucker for it, man.
It sucks you in.
And all the other highlights are just offshoots of what they're talking about.
And you know what's at stake, right? Yep. The future of the country and the next 20 years of the country where we are now. There's just so many allusions to what's happening these days and what will happen at the end of their administration that I'm just like shaking at this.
Big theme throughout this for me anyway and watching these trailers, and you could tell which ones know they are Oscar contenders, is because of how they're scored. And the score for this trailer is just The Man by The Killers, who is a band that just will not die, by the way, first of all, but that's not neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. It just fits so perfectly, and that song is so cocky and arrogant, and it just is an ass shaker. I loved it.
Love it. And I think, you know, Christian Bale's almost dancing to it throughout this trailer. It's phenomenal. So if this is like The Big Short in Succession, then it's going to be a fun composition. It's going to be funny. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to have all that weight and all those implications, like I said. I also like the fact that Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld seems to be a foil for Dick Cheney in particular here, which is really cool.
Both those guys were so vilified during their time in office that the fact that they were diametrically opposed to one another is a little fascinating, sure.
Are you still as ruthless as you used to be? And he's just like, penguin face.
That's totally what it is. He was definitely borrowing from the penguin in the early Batman TV show. How about the best actor lineup that we have going into this Oscar season? Bale, Bozeman, Dafoe, Cooper, Malick, John David Washington, Gosling, Viggo Mortensen, Robert Redford, Ethan Hawke.
Big names.
I was comparing it to last year's, and last year's was great as well. We thought it was a little underrated.
It was a Mount Rushmore plus Chalamet.
Right. Well, we also had Daniel Kaluuya's performance made the cut there, so we had a lot of performances we liked, but comparing
that's right, because Hanks didn't get it.
Right.
Leading up to it, it was like going to be the Mount Rushmore plus one new guy. But
Denzel was in there. We had problem with Roman J. Israel, but comparing this year, it just feels more star-studded and more like the A-list of A-lists. Obviously, Denzel wasn't there, Hanks isn't here, but there are some big names that are going to be duking this out, and this is not going to be an underrated field, I don't think.
It took a while to, you know, declare itself what this race was going to be in Best Actor, but I think now we're starting to get a handle on it. And yeah, big names and awesome performances. I was getting a little worried about Best Actor.
But this one's big. Bohemian Rhapsody is getting all kinds of love. We haven't touched on that yet, or we haven't reviewed that yet, obviously. We haven't seen it yet, so
we will.
Yeah, I'm excited, very excited.
And how great is the Bohemian Rhapsody trailer and IMAX?
It's a sucker's bet, because if you play Queen loudly against anything, it's going to make it seem so much better.
With that audio power IMAX theater. Trying not to, you know, like,
and the
bounce
the
around
pan in, the pan in when they have the Live 8 set, it's beautiful. God. Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
So you have the Stan and Ollie here.
Stan and Ollie, written by John S. Baird of Filth and I Am Dying Up Here, which was a great show in its first season. Second season kind of lost me, but neither here nor there again. Written by the Oscar-nominated Philomena scribe Jeff Pope. We got John C. Reilly of Step Brothers and the Sisters Brothers as Oliver Hardy, because I can speak, and Steve Coogan from Philomena and the Trip movies playing Stan Laurel. This is obviously a biopic of Laurel and Hardy. It also stars Shirley Henderson, Stephanie Hyam, Danny Houston, Nina Arlanda, Rufus Jones, Ella Kenyon, and Bentley Kalu. Award circuit right now has it 7th for original screenplay, 10th for best actor for John C. Reilly, 15th in its best picture rankings, and 14th right now for best director for Baird. Michael.
Yeah, John C. Reilly will be going for lead actor, Coogan for supporting. That was announced by The Hollywood Reporter over the last couple days here. And now that Coogan is clearly going supporting, I'm thinking he will see an uptick in his list ranking, because he was going like head-to-head with John C. Reilly up to this point, and his impersonation is just impeccable.
You kind of were raised a little bit on Laurel and Hardy. You know what the actual men were like. I haven't seen much. I wouldn't have much exposure to them.
Right. My parents loved the March of the Wooden Soldiers as kids, when they were kids.
Sure.
So when my brothers and I were young, they showed that movie to us, and they loved it so much, and my dad laughed at it so heartily that we did as well, and we thought it was really, really funny. I remember watching that over my grandparents' house. It was a riot, and you have these goofy Three Stooges types that do all that physical comedy. But I tell you, Steve Coogan's impersonation is so freaking good. Just the way his eyes just like
right on, huh?
Yeah, I mean, awesome. It's the glitter. I mean, it's perfect. And John C. Reilly, yeah, the physical,
too extremely well. The physical, my lord. I guess Oliver Hardy was a gigantic man.
Yeah,
and there's one shot in this trailer where you're seeing from the ceiling down. He's laying in bed with his wife, and they made Riley huge.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's wearing padding or what it is, yeah, but he's a giant.
I'm sure his impersonation is great as well because of the rave reviews he's been getting by everybody. But I mean, he's the character in this trailer that's getting all the behind the scenes, behind the curtain treatment.
Expositions.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're meeting the real Hardy. We're not meeting the on stage as much, whereas Coogan.
Yeah, it's definitely about the, it's not the, about this, their success. It's about this tour they went on of the UK, basically, in the latter days of their career, where they were going between studios. This actually made me looked up Oliver Hardy's Wikipedia page from this, and I guess they had a lot of tension between themselves. They did something like 100, Wikipedia said 107 different pictures together.
Right.
And whenever you do, whether they were short films or feature films, whenever you do something for that long, of course you're going to get sick of your partner. I mean,
that's like,
look at us.
A marriage. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we had fisticuffs before this.
I have hold
this
for
entire...
applause on my notes there.
So, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. But they're still making each other laugh in the trailer. There's definitely a tale of that friendship in this movie.
And John C. Reilly can do drama. He started in dramatic films before he went to the Adam McKay Pictures and the Adult Swim
PTA, all the PTA
movies. He definitely has the chops. It's also a testament to, I think, how strong the fact that him and Catherine Hahn, who we'll talk about coming up, they started in these, they got their rise to fame in these big comedy movies. I think it's a testament to the genius of that writing as well. But.
And Coogan's funny, man. It's the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, going passing past the bridge.
The Bridge of London. Yeah. So it's pretty funny, but I laugh pretty hard throughout. And I'm rooting for this movie, and John C. Reilly is getting legitimate buzz. I don't think a lot of people have seen this yet either, so it's basically going on word of mouth and what everybody's hearing.
Are we sure this is coming out in 2018?
We are relatively sure now that they have declared for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. I was thinking the same thing. It was getting a 2019 UK release. And
surprises me a little because there's been no momentum for it. So if they're going to center these guys as their serious contenders, which award circuit you just said has them as, kind of would have thought they'd be getting a push before this.
You got Oscar talent going in. Yeah, of course, John C. Reilly, but also the writer there from Philomena.
Yeah.
It makes some sense that this is going to get looked at, and at least in screenplay it seems
great trailer. Not
the, I really enjoyed it. I showed it to my brother the other day, and he's like I had to text my father. He's like, you gotta go watch this trailer.
That's cool,
you'll love this.
That's
blah,
really
blah,
cool.
Blah. So pretty cool. So Mary Poppins returns. Speaking of childhood memories, Michael, oh no. I might have gotten a little emotional during this trailer.
Well, you're basically the fourth Banks child, so that makes sense that Mary Poppins raised
there
you.
There was a Michael Banks. Yeah, but yeah, this is another great trailer, and Dick Van Dyke can still dance on tables.
I just need to know if that's his actual beard.
At his age? No, it's not, but it looks good. That's what Disney production values, baby. It just looks great. Now, Disney's not always great with the accents. We'll talk about that a little later, but
yeah.
I definitely I definitely think the visuals of this trailer are stunning.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
This is a continuation of the Mary Poppins story here. It is not a remake. The kids are all grown up. Those, Michael and John, I guess. Banks kids.
This is your movie. You don't know the kids?
I don't remember their names.
No, no.
Anyway, they're being played by John and then the sister. Emily Mortimer from this year's The Bookshop and Lars and the Real Girl. Ben Whishaw from Perfume and I'm Not... There is Michael Banks, of course.
Yeah, Ben Whishaw, not familiar. Emily Mortimer is very talented actress.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, she's always
things.
Good.
Yeah.
And Ben Whishaw can do the job too. He's got some emotional scenes in this trailer. I wonder if he's the leading man, so to speak, in this movie. That's why Lin-Manuel and the rest of them are probably vying for supporting actor. But of course, we get a Quiet Place megastar, Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins.
Is there any other actress that could have taken the mantle from Julie Andrews and made a believable Mary? Like, if this was...
This casting works.
If this was even someone as talented as Keira Knightley, who did this, another British actress, and she had to take... It wouldn't work.
I don't know if it would have worked either, because Knightley's not as much of a movie star, years after the Pirates of the Caribbean, necessarily. She's also not the musical actress that we know.
She looks, and you can tell how much she studied the mannerisms of the original, because it jumps off the screen in the trailer how close Emily Blunt is to the Julie Andrews character.
And Blunt has been in musicals. You know she can handle it. And obviously she's got some pipes in this trailer alone. So just in case you're worried about the musical prowess of this film, you got Rob Marshall in here to direct from Chicago. And
Chicago, Nine. What was the other one that he did? He knows how to, Into the Woods. He knows how to take these quasi or pseudo musical movies and get Oscar nominations out of them.
And we have Hamilton megastar Lin-Manuel Miranda as Jack.
Okay. So here's my concern.
He's going to sing well.
Well, right. It's my legitimate concern. Well. When we covered the original Mary Poppins, we just talked about it, I forget, in one of the previous, I think, Oscar trailer previews. And we said how ridiculous it was to both of us, Dick Van Dyke's accent. It was a borderline cartoonish, borderline parody and offensive.
True.
So Lin-Manuel Miranda does no favors with his accent in this. It's not, he doesn't have a lot of speaking parts, but he's got that hackneyed over the top, "Aye, governor!" You know, it's a bit much, and I wonder if this is going to be an Oscars vehicle for Emily Blunt. Something like that could take away from even her performance.
Perhaps. I wonder if, just in the grand linguistic scale or prism, if we're punching up as Americans, punching up at the British accent when we try to make fun of it.
Oh, I think there's no doubt.
Because, you know, they're the more refined right. culture over the thousands of years we spawned from them.
Right.
So perhaps it's not as horrible a sin
sure.
for an American
possibly,
to do a
yeah,
silly British
right.
accent over
know?
The years. So I'm just saying in cinematic terms that can be tolerated more so than other things. We've seen it. Just like every Shakespearean drama has to have a British accent. Every period piece where you don't necessarily want subtitles in it, Gladiator, for instance, you don't think twice when it's done in a British accent. Troy, you know, you don't think twice when everybody has a British accent. Game of Thrones.
I don't think twice about those, but I'm also, those are not the, I don't even know the bombastic accents. They're more subtle. They try to be more reserved.
Lin-Manuel might be just a pirate in
he's like
chimney
so,
sweep clothing here,
right? So aggressive.
Listen,
so.
Just in case,
I'm hopeful.
Just in case, you'll have Colin Firth, Meryl Streep, and maybe you'll have an equally
actual
terrible
British actors.
Yeah, you'll have Meryl Streep. You can just pull off anything.
Sure,
she can be any.
She's got.
But you'll also have the hopefully still terrible accent from Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
He's
and
in this
I
too.
Wonder, he didn't have a speaking role in the trailer, so I was curious to see if he was
dancing
match.
Role.
He did. He sure did.
The old man.
You think that's actually him? His legs?
I think so. It looks
There's
like
no
it.
Way he can kick Those, that high.
We said that back when Mary Poppins were like, this guy's a track athlete.
<That's>
like, look
That's
at those
true.
Knees get up there.
Good point.
This man can run a four. Yeah, anyway, we have award circuit saying that this is sixth in the best actress race right
yeah,
now.
She's right on the cusp there.
Emily Blunt, second in production design, first in costume design, sixth in sound mixing, seventh original score, and fifth original song. So it's vying for a bunch of categories.
Could be a big year for costume design overall, too. This, the Avengers, the all the period pieces, like The Favorite coming out.
It's also
Veep
top,
even.
Yeah. Top 20 for film editing, makeup and hairstyling, best picture, director. So it's going to be, and it's, you know, and Miranda for supporting actor, adapted screenplay.
It's one of those shotgun films. You just, it's going to fire out the barrel and it's going to hit a bunch of categories.
And with A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, was it?
Yeah.
Going for best drama at the Globes.
Not
going to
be considered comedy or musicals, which was very surprising to me.
Right, so this is going to be nominated for best comedy or musical at the Globes.
Could gain momentum that way. It's where that, it's almost as if it's like a puzzle piece in this something puzzle that we keep pitching every year.
Absolutely. So there's actual cartoons spliced into this trailer.
It's Disney. They pulled it off,
An homage to
the original
sure. film. Like, they could have totally went CGI for everything, but that's like a throwback.
Yeah,
and
it
is
well.
An old school looking cartoon. It is very vibrant colors. It is like penciled in animation.
And this
and it
is
works.
This is why it's going to be considered such a serious contender, because taking that approach where they're sticking with the old school feel and that throwback feel, mm-hmm. it's made for kids, sure, but this is a movie for us. This is a movie for our parents, even.
For everyone, Michael, for everyone.
Jesus. For the people that were raised on Mary Poppins. Not necessarily literally used Mary Poppins as their babysitter like some of us.
It looks so good. All right, so we get a story as well in this trailer. The Banks family children need looking after.
You're not done with this, huh?
And after a spine-tingling moment where they find the old kite. that yes. they've flown back in the day, and they put it in the trash.
Before my very eyes!
They put it in the trash after singing that metaphor to hell. Go back and listen to our 1960, was it 65? It's 64, 65.
Yes,
best original song for the Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that half episode, one of the early half episodes.
Yes, that was a funny episode, Dick Van Dyke. There's more where that came from. Go back and see it. You can listen to it. So anyway, the kite goes from the garbage pail with no top, flies into the sky. The father's like distraught and the kids are playing, nobody watching them. And of course, Mary Poppins, Emily Blunt, flies down on the kite and she's there. So goosebumps for me, Michael.
Yeah.
I also love the dialogue. There's some great lines by MP here.
You think so?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought that was really selling me.
Funny.
She
has a couple ones.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was over the moon for this.
You are a little biased based on your upbringing. This is coming out at Christmas. Christmas domestic box office race is going to be a shit show. We have this. This is going to rake in money. This should probably win the day. It's the Disney movie, for Christ's sake. But also, Vice is also coming out at Christmas. It might take a bite out of this. Who knows? It's probably not going to be the box office monster that Mary Poppins will be. But there's a couple other ones coming out around then. Feinberg Forecast has Emily Blunt listed under still to come. So he hasn't seen the movie yet either. He just updated Feinberg Forecast. We've talked about why you should be following Scott Feinberg there.
Yep.
He updated his forecast as of October 15th, so just a couple days ago. But I'm with you. I'm excited.
So Ben is back, Mike.
Yeah, award circuit. Lead actress Julia Roberts, number 11 right now. Lead actor Lucas Hedges weighs in at 26th on award circuit. Feinberg has a front runner for Lucas Hedges for best actor. Front runner for Julia Roberts for best actress. There's a possibility for best director on this one. Feinberg very high on this. Peter Hedges is the director, so he's actually directing his son in this one,
yeah.
which I just learned there was a familial connection there. Award circuit is a little less on this one, but it's still probably a contender. Written and directed by Peter Hedges, as I just said, father of Lucas. Ben is back also stars Three Billboards actress Catherine Newton and the Emmy winner for Johnny Cochran, Courtney B. Vance.
Trailer is a bit over the top. We're getting a lot of the same themes from Beautiful Boy that we'll talk about a little later. The story is abundantly clear in this trailer, though, so points for clarity. Unlike the teaser, which we had fun riffing about, why Ben might be back. And that was funny in the last Oscar trailers episode. You should go back and listen to that, too.
See, I don't think it's over. I think this one, for Oscar performances and scenes and all that anymore, we expect like a touch of over the topness.
I know. It's just touching nerves. A lot of these trailers, these dramas, are going to just touch nerves with me and my family members.
Yeah, I get that.
Obvious reality reasons. And this is just this drive. Whatever. It's like a highlight reel. And then they just have the big movie speech constantly. And it bothers me with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, it is.
It's a movie.
They're not shying away from the fact that they think this is an Oscar vehicle. I agree. I don't think it's as grabby or as Oscar-y, wannabe Oscar-y as like J. Edgar was back in the day.
That being said, Julia Roberts is giving all these pleas and these speeches desperation in her eyes.
She's going nuts in this
show. So it's like, she's posting really happy things on Facebook and yet her life is falling apart. And yeah, that makes some sense there. And I like that her performance is nuanced even in a trailer viewing of it. So and he's very stone cold and obviously he's going to be an elusive character for us.
And we know Lucas Hedges has the chops to be considered a forerunner in the best actor category. Now, best actor is loaded.
I wonder if the fact that he's also a contender for Boy Erased might split his vote a little bit.
The momentum for that one has slowed down considerably, though. People kind of, once they saw that one and digested it, they weren't as crazy about it as the lead up.
I mean, if they get behind this one more so, then maybe his vote will bump up a little bit.
I also think it's interesting, just taking the movie out of it, looking at the projection side of this thing, how diverse the opinions of award circuit are when compared to Feinberg Forecast. Now, we've gone on at length about Feinberg's Forecast, and he's someone that's glued and tuned in directly to the industry. I mean, he obviously has the podcast for THR that has all these contenders on it and talking about their own role. So, and he knows, we've talked about and followed his predictions compared to what actually happens. He's right on the money.
Yep.
We haven't really gone in depth with the award circuit. This is kind of our first time comparing them throughout. So it's going to be interesting to see where that falls. For me, for this movie, I tend to lean more towards, it hit me more like it did Scott Feinberg than it has award circuit. I think this one quacks like a duck.
Yeah, it looks like it. And we'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, Feinberg, he winds up being definite on things and basically whatever the odds wind up being. You know, his forecasts seem to predict a lot of things that are going to happen right. on Oscar night. But we haven't really followed him forecast for forecast.
Oh, not like as pick closely. By pick. No.
So now, like his picks now and his picks where they wind up, obviously they're going
to
be two different
things. I didn't mean to suggest. I just meant like as a general leading up to.
Yeah, where he winds up, he's pretty accurate. So if you're going to put money down.
Sure.
Feinberg forecast is a good place to place your bets. So Free Solo now, this was a trailer I was afraid to watch, Michael. This movie, it was nominated at the Critics' Choice Awards for Best Documentary that just dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
100%, 8.4 out of 10 critic score, 83 Metacritic score.
Hi.
This is a documentary about Alex Hanold as he becomes the first person to ever free solo climb Yosemite's 3,000-foot high El Capitan wall. With no ropes or safety gear, he completed arguably the greatest feat in rock climbing history.
Second person ever.
Okay, I'm very glad.
Tom Cruise did it first.
Tom Cruise climbed something. Free solo. Good God. Anyway, critics' consensus, Free Solo depicts athletic feats that many viewers will find beyond reason and grounds the attempts and passions that are all but universal. So we have Rotten Tomatoes loving this. We have a critical community loving this. We have a trailer that is crazy good.
So you want to know how I know I'm a bad person?
What's that?
I don't care at all about this movie. Like, I know, like, the sights are impressive. The feat is amazing. The visuals are jaw-dropping. But
is this Mr. Rogers' bias? Are you just in love with...
No. It's...
Because we admitted this bias
I think
before.
It's incredibly... This is a terrible take, and nobody should put any stock in what I'm about to say, because I can't relate to free climbing at all or solo climbing at all. I can't get over the selfishness of this guy. You're interviewing his wife and his mother, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, if he dies, he's going to die. He says in a Kimmel interview that he has to picture himself falling and be okay with the consequences of what happens. Well, the consequences of what happens if he falls is he's gone and he's leaving behind his family. His parents will have to bury him. I for me, it's just all, I can't get over the selfishness of it, which is the wrong way of looking at it. I know it's a personal goal and a personal accomplishment thing.
There's a throwaway line in the trailer that the mom can't take that away from him because that's where he feels most alive, et cetera, et cetera. I just think it's fascinating how they're interviewing, number one, the girlfriend, number two, the parents, number three, the filmmakers.
Yeah, the filmmakers' amazement of it is really interesting.
And that's fascinating to me. Like, we're getting this meta documentary where the people in it, or the people recording it, are now inserting themselves in the story because they're so amazed by what he's doing.
They're kind of the audience as well.
Yeah, right. So fascinating. And
that
the guy's
part
like,
is cool.
He's like, I don't like making documentaries about free solo climbers. I did it once. I don't want to do it again or whatever he's saying. I'm guessing that the rest of the dialogue in there because it's like, it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
And here he is going for it here. And it's just so freaking scary. This trailer alone, he's climbing up this wall or a wall or whatever with ropes and pulleys, training for the free solo climb of it. And he's falling with ropes and pulleys.
Right.
And it's just insane to me how he's going to do this freeballing or what's the title?
That should have been the title. Yeah. Just freeballing. No, I get it. I mean, I do. I didn't expect to, you know, have serious emotions about rock climbing today, but I can't get over the hump here.
Again, nominated at the Critics' Choice.
Everybody
Awards.
Loves it. Everybody says this is a shoo-in for a nomination for feature documentary in a loaded year for feature documentary. So we're going to hear this one again. And we're probably going to review it at some point.
Beautiful Boy trailer 2, Mike.
Yeah, so this was a fuller, a more comprehensive, I guess, look at the movie starring Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet as the chefs. It's obviously based on a true story. It's out now in limited release. We're waiting for it to come near us. We're going to give it the OSP treatment. Scores, though, 64%, 6.4 out of 10 average critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 62 Metascore. That's a bit concerning to me. We'll talk about it. Chalamet is fourth on award circuit for Best Supporting Actor. I'm surprised he's actually that low, fourth.
True. Roman J. Israel was nominated last year in Best Actor, too. It was a movie that had its problems, as we said, so maybe this
Fair
one
point.
We'll do the same kind of arc.
Chalamet listed first right now for Feinberg Forecast, but again, without the ranking there. Carell listed as 11th on award circuit. He's 6th on Feinberg in major threats category for Best Actor, so he's not in the front runners category yet. We'll see if this picks up any momentum. Beautiful Boy also stars Maura Tierney and Amy Ryan. It's directed by Felix von Groningen. Michael, trailer?
This is an emotional trailer. The editing, the E-D-D-Y, R-I-N-G, is pretty amazing.
Can you tell me more about that?
And editing is the cornerstone of filmmaking.
I see, yes.
So
editing.
But listen, when he's the young boy and Steve Carell's like mind's eye there through the trailer, and then when he dissolves into Timothy Chalamet, the drug addict, now... It's pretty emotional stuff in this trailer alone. So I'm looking at the drug-addicted Chalamet performance is pretty excellent. I'm starting to see what Carell is doing here and why he's so praiseworthy, Mike.
Yeah, Jeff Schneider from Collider, who's another guy clued into the industry, has a lot of breaking news on Twitter. He made the point on Twitter yesterday that supporting acting is kind of a top-heavy year. It seems to be a two-man race right now. That's why I'm sad I was surprised award circuit has Chalamet fourth, because it seems to be Mahershala Ali against Timothy Chalamet. Ali for Green Book.
Well, Sam Elliott is getting buzzed lately.
Don't give me the Sam Elliott stuff.
I'm just saying by the numbers, by what people are projecting.
I don't understand that at all. But anyway,
Coors.
Something feels off about this movie, right? Like this to us seems like a very Oscar baity movie,
right?
And the scores are just middling.
I think I read somewhere today, I think it was Next Best Picture, where they were saying like the editing is crap, the pacing is off, and they're having trouble watching this movie.
That's a shame.
And feeling strongly about it. I'm watching the trailer here. It's over the top in terms of the emotions. Like, you know, watching this and Ben is back after each other, a lot of the same cliches.
Yeah, there
with
are.
With Timothy Chalamet rolling on the floor with little kids and his family, right, and playing with those kids when
he's
okay.
He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad kid. And, you know, it's just like compositing a lot of experiences and putting them into one visual. And I get why they have to do that. You know, and it's cinematic. It's just not like as realistic. And again, these movies have been touching nerves with me personally. And
right.
It's just like, that's ridiculous. Those moments never happen. This is absurd.
Well, I'm sure they happen with some
They
people.
Don't happen.
All right, fine.
Not with my family of stoic SOBs, but I guess. Listen, the diner scene, though, wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a scene. In the bedroom as well.
Chalamet's bringing the heat, man. Chalamet's going off. Julia Roberts goes off in her trailer. There's some trailers.
Carell
really...
too here.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why he's up for contention.
Carell reminds me, because he doesn't go all the way. He doesn't have like an emotional explosion in this trailer. And it reminds me of kind of what Gosling did in First Man, which we just did the Oscar right. Sprint profile.
A quiet tour de force.
It depends on how you view it, because I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying Gosling didn't do anything in his performance. And we made the case that it was the deliberate choice for him to be so stoic and reserved, because he had to be.
The subtle gestures
yeah.
that you see on that goddamn IMAX screen and you cannot miss.
I'm with you.
Getting
totally.
Just the repression.
Kick. Yeah.
The repression of every scene and how he's dealing with it. And of course, just letting off the steam and just drips and drabs and leaks. And
so it's all how you view it. If you think that's an actor's choice to do that, then of course you're going to think the performance is great. And that's what Carell seems to be similarly doing in this one as well. And we give him credit because these are the best guys in their field. So a lot of people didn't see it that way. We'll see the effect it has on both this movie and Gosling's chances in First Man and how the Academy feels about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
Just spare me Sam Elliott. Please spare me the Sam Elliott pitch.
I don't personally have Elliott in my tip top either, but I think the
I don't even mind in a weak year. I don't even mind if you want to put him in as a nominee. If I hear that he's a serious contender to win, I'm going to flip out.
I just wonder if people think that, you know, again, as another legacy award, but also as someone who was vying for best actor last year, kind of
right.
knock on the door, breakthrough after a while.
Yeah, the Hero wasn't great. I don't know.
His performance in the Hero was pretty good. I had him in my top 10, I think.
It was okay.
All right. So those are our major contenders. We'll have a few more that have better chances later on. But now this is kind of our grouping of puncher's chance movies where they're maybe in the teens, some 20s. They'll have a really good chance or two, like we'll mention in this next one here.
Like
Mike.
The Stained song, I'm on the Outside from back in 2002.
They're on the outside a little bit. Yeah, I didn't hear that song 100,000 times.
I can see
Thanks for bringing
you.
That up.
Yeah.
So, Mike, The Mule.
Yeah, The Mule. Bradley Cooper, 19th right now for Best Supporting Actor. Clint Eastwood is 8th for Best Actor on Awards Circuit. It also stars Diane Wiest, Michael Pena, Anthony Garcia, and Lawrence Fishburne, who is Larry Fishburne in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, by the way. Saw that recently.
Right.
Yeah, changed his name, but all right.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood is a drug mule here.
drug mule, scary scene, and it's kind of effed up that it's scary because he's pulled over to the side of the road investigating what he's carrying. Pecans is his front, but he's also got a bag full of serious drugs,
giant bag of drugs. Drugs is a big theme for this Oscar season.
Right, he's old, so he doesn't sense the cop car behind him that's pulled over as well, and the cop car has a drug-sniffing dog in it. So the guy has like this little small-town conversation with him, the cop that is, and then the dog is like barking.
Yeah,
the guy thinks the dog has to pee, but obviously the dog's going to go crazy over the smell. So we also get Bradley Cooper as an FBI agent in this trailer, definitely on Clint Eastwood's tail, it seems. We have Garcia as a drug kingpin. We have Clint Eastwood directing, and Nick Schenck as a screenwriter. He wrote Gran Torino and The Judge. So again, a lot of Oscar personnel, I guess you could say.
Sure. I'm excited about this, even though I'm pretty sure I watched Clint Eastwood actually lose his mind and hold a full-on conversation with a chair not too long ago. I'm a sucker for a perfect score in a trailer, and this score is just those simple piano keys.
Sure.
I can't tell what song that is, though. I want to say it might be I Started a Joke, akin to the Suicide Squad trailer, but I'm not positive. It fit so beautifully and so haunting and mesmerizing.
I like the voiceover. A lot of regret through the voiceover narration here. I like the flashbacks of Eastwood, a young Clint Eastwood. It looked like Clint Eastwood. I wonder if that was his son that played it. I didn't research there, but I know he's got a son who's an actor out there. Yeah, I must say the actors playing the younger versions do look a lot like the older characters, so that's a plus. That's continuity. We know have filmmakers and a screenwriter who really know what they're doing here.
Yeah, this wasn't written by Clint Eastwood. This was a...
Nick Schenck.
He's going to get the directorial job, but listen, if the Oscars is worried about isolating one half of the country and they want to get ratings back and be more inclusive, then you nominate Clint Eastwood for this, for director, you nominate Damien Chazelle for First Man, and you get everyone invested in the race between the guy that mocked President Obama during the Republican National Convention and the guy that refused to show a close-up of the American flag being planted in the face of the moon, and you have people battle it out between them.
That's not a bad idea.
You see?
That's a very good idea, in fact, if they were so inclined to start
a... hear the pundits typing their monologues already, you know?
Start a rap battle between pundits here. So, yeah, I like Clint Eastwood movies, many of them in terms of his direction. He is hit or miss with me, in all honesty, at times.
Yeah, it's funny how his legacy kind of changed with Gran Torino. He ever since Gran Torino hit, he's been held in this prestige. He's a great legacy actor. He's unbelievable, but he's really that. Gran Torino and Unforgiven was another one way back a decade earlier, but those two have kind of defined his legacy thus far. Whereas you're right, he's been, for the most part before that, very hit or miss with a lot of his stuff, playing on hokey sometimes.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's kind of a preposterous setup a little bit that he's having to go toe-to-toe with all these real gangbangers and drug hitters.
That's Clint Eastwood, though, isn't it? I mean, that's Gran Torino. That's exactly what he did in Gran Torino, and it worked.
I guess it worked. So what they had, Mike Feinberg says, Blythe Danner, Robert Forster, and Michael Shannon are possibilities in the actor categories as of this morning. THR says they will all vie in supporting roles, as Hilary Swank is really the only lead in this movie. 74 Metascore, 92%, 7.2 out of 10 critics on 92%. Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes likes it, the critical community there. Here's the premise. Bridget, Hilary Swank, returns home at her brother's, Michael Shannon, urging to deal with her ailing mother, Blythe Danner, and her father's, Robert Forster's, reluctance to let go of their life together. Too many parentheses.
Yeah, so we have a mother that's kind of losing it mentally, and the daughter has to come home and try to see if she can kind of hold this family together and gets a snapshot of where everyone is at the time.
Right, big family drama here. I want to punch everyone in the face, including myself, for that song. I'm just so sick of this same kind of song being the family drama trailer theme song.
With the six-string guitar in the background.
Oh, my God. It's the same song in every ensemble movie.
Yeah, this isn't an Oscars movie to me. Yeah, I mean, it looks like a movie that'll rip your heart out and slap it around
a terrific movie. I'm upset at the trailer for this musical choice.
The trailer doesn't suggest that it's an Oscar movie to me. Reminds me of This Is Where I Leave You from a couple years ago, 2014, with Jason Bateman, maybe. Tina Fey, Ben Schwartz, that whole ensemble piece.
Except
that
was not funny, perhaps.
Well, that movie was a pretty serious drama. I mean, they had its moments, but this one, it this one seems like it has its moments as well. Michael Shannon and Hilary Swank, they have a couple one-liners.
Yeah, another trailer touching nerves with me in freaking real life. So that sucks. But yeah, I'm not that excited for this. I'm happy Robert Forster's getting buzz, that Michael Shannon is back on the Oscar radar again. Blythe Danner and Shannon, they seem to be on the fringe of Oscar nominations every year, it seems almost. Like, you always see Blythe Danner in like a top 15. Right. And then Michael Shannon, well, I know he got nominated a couple years back for that crazy cop role, but
yeah, I think it's only a matter of time for Michael Shannon too. I think he's gonna be hearing his name at some point.
I don't like this trailer though. It's on the nose. It's aggravating.
I can't see how this is an Oscars movie, but who knows? Once it comes out, we could be surprised.
You have a protagonist, that Hilary Swank, that you don't get a lot of info about. You don't get a lot of POV through. You're just basically focused on all these side characters, which again, as storytelling goes, is kind of aggravating.
I said it the first time we reviewed this trailer, but it was like, I can't get over the Joe Bluth parallel. It's like, my illusions, Dad. You don't have time for my magic illusion. Bar owner.
So the next one, Mike, is Mirai.
Oh boy. Yeah, Feinberg has it as a front runner for best animated film. Look, I don't know what the hell this is about. I think we deserve a lot of credit for diving as deep as we have this year into the foreign film category. We're spoiled by all the quality foreign films that substantiate this category.
Foreign animated film, so it should get dubbed at some point.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're at the point where at least I can speak confidently about the time-traveling sister going far from home anime picture, yeah, if that's what this even is.
I think I'm rooting for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Because Spider-Man!
I'm a dumb American and go America.
Yeah,
and yeah, but that's where I'm at, like superheroes. And this is just like time-traveling sister and the little brother, and then why did this little brother trust the little sister, and is this Pokemon, or what the fuck am I watching?
It doesn't even matter how great this
it might be a
really
great
is.
Movie. The trailer is like that.
I'm saying it doesn't even matter because this category is going to Disney. Disney's the one running the Oscars program right now.
Incredibles 2 is in. Winning.
Yeah, either that or Wreck-It Ralph. It's one of those two.
Probably. So, Mariah, I mean, anime fans, we don't want to step on all your toes in one fell
swoop. Yeah, I'm not trying to talk bad about it. This could be the greatest movie of all time.
Not a fan of
the trailer was weird.
It's really crazy in terms of narrative drive in the trailer, so we'll see. Maybe we'll see this movie if it does get a nomination. Maybe that's what it'll take for us to watch the movie, though, unfortunately. All right, so we got a bunch of upcoming indies with a puncher's chance, Mike. HAL, this is about HAL Ashby movies. I love all of those. 72 Metascore, 92%, 6.7 out of 10 critics score. Nominated for Best Doc at the Critics' Choice Awards. I love this trailer. I love HAL Ashby movies. All his famous actors are basically talking about how he made movies, and it's kind of a biopic of him, biodoc.
It's kind of the movie version of what it seems like, anyway, what the Mr. Rogers documentary was. There's a bunch of people that love his work
except
and are praising
the opposite kind of people, maybe. Well, they actually probably have both the single, similarities, but he's a stoner. And
they get across the spectrum. It's not just comedic.
One's a preacher, one's a hippie.
Judd Apatow, Rosanna Arquette, Jeff and Bo Bridges, all the way to Pablo Ferro and Jane Fonda all interviewed for this. Sure. So it goes across. It really shows how many lives he impacted and touched and through his work and his artistry. So we're both suckers for this kind of behind-the-scenes filmmaking stuff. This and the next title we'll talk about are kind of in that genre, so I'm excited for it.
Being There is probably my favorite book/movie of all of the HAL Ashbys, but Harold and Maude's a bit crazy, but I like that too. It's had such an influence on all of modern-day filmmakers, and that's a quote from this trailer, and it makes some sense, and we're suckers for this. We're going to see this. Filmworker, Mike.
As well as Filmworker, which is in a similar vein, but maybe not the exact same delivery. It's projected on the shortlist as far as Feinberg's forecast goes. It's 39th right now on award circuit for Best Documentary. Rotten Tomatoes critics consensus reads like this: Film Worker offers long overdue recognition to one of Stanley Kubrick's key collaborators while opening an often troubling window into the director's demanding work. So
yeah, this looks like catnip to us.
Kubrick was a maniac, and there's a ton of stories. All you have to do is go back and listen to retold what happened to Shirley MacLaine on the set of The Shining, and this guy was... he wouldn't fly in today's day and age in the PC culture, but he no doubt was a genius, no doubt was a visionary, but man, did he go to great lengths to get a lot out of
Zach. There's a quote in here about industry people walking up to him at whatever functions, and they're like, you know, I'd give my right arm to work for you. And of course, this collaborator, Leon Vitali, who worked with Kubrick on Barry Lyndon as an actor, he would become one of his go-to guys on every production act after that as a crewman. Of course, Leon Vitali could see Kubrick's face, and then he basically gave, you know, Kubrick's inner monologue in the interview. He was like, Kubrick would be like, your right arm, really? That's all?
Yeah.
That's all you get for me? Right. That's where you, that's as much as you'd go, then you can't work for me. Screw you. So, I mean, this is for candy for Kubrick buffs, just like the trailer says.
Look, he's one of the best of all time, but he does not come without his warts. Maybe it's refreshing to have a guy, a prestigious Hollywood monument such as Stanley Kubrick, whose warts don't include sexual harassment, at least that we know of yet.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
so maybe that's a good thing. I mean, it's not good, certainly, but maybe it's a different take, and it'll be more well-received because of that. I don't know. I'm speculating.
Right. The other side of the spectrum in terms of megalomaniac directors is like Fellini, I guess, even though they have two totally different styles.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they're both just total control freaks on the set, and we have Kubrick in terms of the scrutiny of every detail. It would make sense that he would have, like, fixers in every single portion of his crew.
Yeah.
And like, this is one of his inner circle guys that would handle certain liaisoning.
It's showing an inside look. It's kind of I don't remember anything really having this look. It shows you what it's like to be a made man in Hollywood, because if you're Kubrick's right hand man, you probably have to stick by him through the good, the bad, and the ugly.
True.
And so you're getting this perspective of this firsthand account of a guy who has seen a lot of these, you don't want to call them atrocities, but these wrongdoings, as well as the genius it led to. So it's kind of a fascinating. Yeah. I think this is more something for our enjoyment than it is an Oscars documentary, but it's definitely something I want to check out.
There's another Audible book by another one of his main go-to guys. So this wasn't, Leon wasn't the only one. I've been wanting to buy a book by one of his other main collaborators. So it seems like he had an inner circle of go-to guys, of henchmen, of whatever you want to call it, that would just carry
fixers
that would carry out his whim, that knew his sensibilities and that knew how he paid attention to every single detail, and that would carry out that scrutiny on everything in the cast and crew, no matter how many new people they had to bring into these endeavors. So that is fascinating. So I'm going to see that one for sure. Border, Mike, right now this foreign film is 17th on award circuit. It's Sweden's submission for best foreign film, and it shows up on Feinberg's Forecast on the list of foreign films vying for the nomination. 94%, 7.9 out of 10 critic score.
This high? 78 Metascore is high too.
So here is the elusive premise. A customs officer who can smell fear develops an unusual attraction to a strange traveler that looks like her while aiding a police investigation which will call into question her entire existence, Michael.
So they turn into wolves, right?
This trailer is bonkers.
That's where this is going. These two people are turning into wolves.
I have no idea.
I mean, they're turning into wolves.
So it's supposedly like a fairy tale romance between two people with the same chromosomal deficiency and their looks.
Right.
So they do have the same look there.
Yeah, I like the message it's saying.
You know, they're ugly ducklings in a way and for society.
Right. Well, that trope anyway. Yeah.
We get this thriller last half of the trailer though. So it's like the first half is their romance. Even, you know, they're lonely and then they meet. And then he's a very elusive character. Like, we don't get what he's all about. Like, is he a bad guy?
But you see, like, the veins pulsing the side of their head. And there's, like, a scene where the woman is making nice with a fox. Wolves.
Wolves. Okay. Well, Mike says wolves.
I'm putting my money on wolves.
I just think the critical praise showcased in this trailer alone, like, either they got people on the payroll. No, number one, the numbers are high overall. But, yeah, those quotes in this trailer are like, I'm like, wow, I have to see this, right?
Yeah, this is up there. This is
someone
surprise.
Could praise it.
This is not something that I think we've heard of until now, but this is could make waves in a big year for foreign film, too. This could be there in the final five.
It just might be in our list, even if it doesn't get a nomination at the end of the day. I like Swedish movies. They've done well for me in the past. I like the filmmakers over there. So I'm amped up to see this one down the line. I think it's going to be unexpected what happens, and people seem to love it.
Wolves.
The price of everything, Mike.
26th on awards circuit right now for best documentary. It's an HBO documentary. I am in love with this concept because I'm such a sucker for like Antiques Roadshow and Hidden Gems and Pawn Stars and all okay, that garbage cool. where it's just somebody puts something on canvas or does their mindset on some type of expression. And then people just decide it's worth this monumental figure. I am in love with this, and that's kind of what we're getting. This documentary is about the art world and these struggling artists that are trying to find their voice to sell these paintings and make a living.
Yeah, Feinberg Forecast has a short list for best documentary at the Oscars. I'm fascinated. I mean, it touches on the profane price of modern art, prices of modern art pieces out there right now. And they're interviewing the artists, the curators, the people selling it, yeah. the people buying it, the rich people. I mean, it's crazy the amount of access that this movie has. It's a HBO doc, like you said, and it's going to really cover kind of that whole world that we are not accustomed to.
No, not at all. And I also get the impression that some people within that world are very wise to the fact that they... how absurd it all is.
Right.
Because you have the guy that's explaining the title. And I think the title is very clever in and of itself, where you think of the price of everything is kind of, you're dealing with all these opulence and excess and all these people spending huge, ridiculous amounts of money to have these paintings and stuff.
And there's a line in there, I stopped painting dots and then nobody bought me anymore. Like, it's just had paintings with like dots.
My life means nothing now. Right. And this guy is explaining the title. He's like, there's people out there that know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. And that being the other side of this, I think is going to show like the underbelly of this movie is just going to be the ridiculousness of it all, which I kind of appreciate.
I'm in. Yeah, I'm
totally sold. All right, so to sort of wrap up here, we're going to have two little quick segments. We're going to go through these in kind of a rapid fire way instead of going trailer by trailer and giving a long drawn out explanation. We're going to go through a couple movies that you could see right now that are available to you on a streaming service. And then we're going to do a couple trailers that are going to be, the trailers just dropped and they're kind of hot off the presses. And we'll go into them a little bit, the first trailers for these movies. We'll start with the ones you could see right now, Crime and Punishment, Michael.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, nominated for Critics' Choice Award for Best Doc there. This is a fascinating premise. A group of brave NYPD officers risk it all to expose the truth about illegal quota practices in police departments. This seems like the issue doc that can make waves at the Oscars. We've been talking about biopic, biodocs, up till now, getting most of the nominations. This one, from the trailer, seems extremely important. Truth-telling.
I could absolutely see where you're coming from with that. It certainly would make sense to have that fifth. To me, there's only one documentary slot left for documentary feature. We'll talk about it as we get to our next one, or next two. But this could be one, and also the next movie that we cover could also be one as well. Science Fair is a documentary.
Yeah, 82 Metascore, 98% Rotten Tomatoes. Like a Christopher Guest movie is in the trailer, a quote from a critic in the trailer.
Just
that's
the fun.
Opening is a kid just celebrating that he won the Science Fair, yeah. And it's like this great montage.
Going nuts, yeah.
Yeah, so this is out in theaters right now, I think, so that you can go see it in independent theaters. And what a great trailer. I'm in. It might be an uplifting documentary for change.
It's just a weird world that whole science fair thing exists, and you have these teens working on these projects that should be completely over their heads, like stopping cancer before it starts and global warming.
Stopping
and all that.
Cancer, science fair project.
Yeah, and then in the next scene, you have one kid in the crowd dabbing into both arms uncontrollably.
Right, they're still kids.
It's so funny.
They're saving the world, but they're kids.
So I think that one has a chance as well. And also, I think the last one that has a chance as far as making that fifth slot, and I want to talk about it, is Quincy.
I love this documentary. I've seen it. It's on Netflix now before we went into the Halloween rewatch. I actually caught this one.
Oh, you got it in, huh?
I love this. It has some...
Did Quincy Jones murder anyone?
No.
Then why are we watching
lines in this doc, Michael, will just floor you, especially like for wannabe artists such as myself, as I think of myself as... I'm saying that wrong.
The 60 Metascore is concerning for this, isn't
that
it?
That is concerning. It's not as well put together as other biodocs. It's more of a sprawling doc, I would say, but it's still worth it.
I haven't seen it yet. People are sick of hearing me say what a strong year it is for feature documentary, but it's a really strong year for feature documentary. There's four likely shoo-ins already as far as noms. Now, you could argue with this because Jane was supposed to win it all last year.
Right.
Didn't even get nominated.
You never know.
But Won't You Be My Neighbor, Free Solo, RBG, and Three Identical Strangers are kind of four that everyone expects to already have their tickets punched. Brian Perry at Rose to Oscars was discussing this on Twitter yesterday. He was discussing it with our friends at Next Best Picture, Matt there. It's hard to disagree with those four, at least as far as the momentum and where we are right now. It's Quincy doing enough in this doc to merit that fifth spot? Personally, I know you said Crime and Punishment. I think the Academy always fancies itself these world savers and these issue monglers, and I think they're going to go with the more uplifting picture. So if I had to put my money down on anything, it would be Science Fair, because it shines the light on the issues of the day medically and the kids, and it's going to be a very positive story.
So we shall look at it.
That'll be interesting to see how that breaks down. We'll go back to Private Life, which is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn, Paul Giamatti. We did start our Halloween rewatch, so we did not get to this one yet, but 94%. Kaylee Carter's getting buzz. Molly Shannon's in here. 11th on award circuit for best original screenplay. Tamara Jenkins wrote and directed this baby. Some of the highest scores of her career, like you say in your copy that I'm reading now.
You jerk. Big critic names are all over this one on Twitter. Emily Nussbaum from The New Yorker, Sean Fennessy of The Ringer, Mark Harris of Vulture all have nothing but great and glowing things to say both about this movie and Tamara Jenkins in general.
We're going to watch this, and Paul Giamatti is said to be at his best, and Catherine Hahn is said to be dazzling in this trailer.
I mean, Paul Giamatti is awesome.
To me, this is the way you handle a dramedy or an ensemble piece in a trailer. You don't play the music like it's a hymnal or something. You play some crazy music to get you in the mood for a good movie, right? Yeah.
94% certified fresh Rotten Tomato score. It's the highest scored property of Jenkins' career so far.
Yeah, it's. I heard that somewhere.
You jerk.
The Hate U Give is available now in theaters, and this is starting to get some major buzz. Next Best Picture, our friends over there have said it really, you know, made some of them cry. That
another issue movie, yeah.
Amanda Stenberg,
very important.
29th on award circuit, 13th for best adapted screenplay there on award circuit. This trailer works. It is overplayed. It's like every time I go to the movies, I see this trailer.
Do you think the father named her Star by accident?
Definitely not. but a lot of truth telling, a lot of good things being said in the trailer. I wonder if it's going to be on the nose at the end of the day. I'm a little worried about that, but we're going to see this.
It's not our first time talking about this, and the first time we did talk about it, I was more focused on the message of the film itself. I didn't realize, I don't know why it didn't hit me the first time, but the cast in this trailer alone, Common, Regina Hall, Anthony Mackie, Issa Rae, Russell Hornsby, my lord.
A lot of potential, and it's based on the book that was a bestseller, like we've said before, a book that's been on my Audible queue for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm into this.
Same here.
Next grouping of films is like trailers that we loved.
One of us loved.
I loved. And Blaze is the first one of those. Ethan Hawke, co-written and directed by him. 99%. 99%, 8 out of 10 critic score. It's playing limited right now. This is a powerful trailer. I just love the shots of their wedding. Are you kidding me? In the backwoods swamp there?
Look. Woo! I think we've hit our quota for, you know, demonized, fighting their demons, country rock stars.
Oh, no, you're just sick of A Star Is Born, yeah. Mike. This might be the antidote.
You're damn right I'm sick of A Star Is Born.
It might be the antidote to A Star Is Born.
It
might be.
It seems such a parallel or derivative, though.
Llewyn Davis meets the devil and Daniel Johnson, I felt like. This is still playing near us. We may have to see this, like, this week. We got to get done with this Halloween rewatch. I don't know, but
I hope it never ends.
But we have 8th Grade's dad, Josh Hamilton, in it. We have Arrested Development's Alia Shawkat. We have Benjamin Dickey playing
another strong cast. Underrated cast, I would say, too. Not a lot of people. You go to an average moviegoer, they're probably not going to know Alia Shawkat's name, but they would know her face, certainly.
Okay, so High Life, another trailer that I really liked. It's not about the champagne of beers. It's about science fiction from Claire Denis, co-written and directed by her.
What the fuck did you have me watch here?
Robert Pattinson's is space as an astronaut, a father, and his daughter struggle to survive in deep space where they live in isolation, which is not exactly true. That's the premise, though.
I mean, this looks wild.
Wild.
I don't even know. I couldn't even gather my thoughts on it. It's something to do. It's like a Children of Men meets, like, Alien.
And it's metaphors for the modern living based on the science, in a science fiction film. You know, 81 Metascore, 86% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5.
Definition of intriguing. It looks, I have to see this.
Andre 3000, Mia Goth, Juliette Binoche. I love science fiction, so I'm totally in for this trailer. Another genre I did not expect to love, Michael.
The zombie Christmas musical?
Anna and the Apocalypse. This trailer came out a while back, but 90%, 8 out of 10 critics
score. Don't tell me not to dream, I just gotta.
Nom, 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 nom. Yeah, I mean, give me a break, and the songs are catchy.
This is a total fever dream, but I'm in. It's a fever dream I would have.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I guess we'll finish today with maybe an Oscars 2020 movie.
This was a big one that made all its rounds a couple days ago. It's the Disney live action Aladdin.
I love the shots of the sand.
Not important. Nothing is important. Nobody cares. Listen, this movie is about one thing and one thing only. Can Will Smith fill those Robin Williams size shoes of the genie?
Well, here's the thing. If it was just going to be an animated genie, why couldn't they just have Robin Williams' voice do it all? Just remake Aladdin. Aladdin's a great movie.
Scene for scene reshoot.
All right. Well, I mean, Will, if anybody can do it and be funny and be, I mean, he's talented enough to do it. Will Smith.
Of course. But if you think Mary Poppins is a treasured property,
right? But he hasn't done a comedy in a while. We don't. I mean, remember Will Smith as the Fresh Prince. He's
got
funny, his man.
Chops. And Men in Black series too. He's obviously more than capable of pulling off the one-liners, but. Mm-hmm. Man, that genie is something that a lot of people hold near and dear. I'm not saying he can't do it. I think he can. I'm excited to see it. But boy, I hope Disney knows what they're doing here with him.
Is it going to be a musical? Because he can't sing? Or he won't
sing? You
think
Will Smith can't sing?
Oh, yeah. He's a rapper. He can sing.
Bienvenido a Miami.
I forget.
Yeah.
I forget. Well, all right. He can rap. Maybe he'll rap.
It's going to be interesting to see, but this one, you will see this one everywhere. It's kind of a teaser.
I just
speak
before I think sometimes.
I'm with you there. That's why we have a podcast. You're right. There were a lot of interesting shots in this one. We do see, I don't know if it's actually a desert. It doesn't look like it. It looks a little CGI'd. Everything, those kind of rolling hills.
Don't care. It just sets the mood of that. I mean, remember Aladdin?
Yeah.
Remember the opening shots of the desert? And you,
yeah, I do, but that's why I'm...
establishing shot. I'm in.
God, you need... Tentatively. Mm-hmm. I hope it's good as it, and it's Disney, they know what they're doing, but they've had some live action remakes that I've worried about.
Well, Jungle Book was good, and what else have they done?
Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella wasn't great.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast was okay.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but those are the most recent, potentially last Oscar trailers preview. If we have another one, we'll definitely let you know. We're going to be on top of it. We like doing these. You guys click on them because you like, I guess, being told where the highlights are and what's out there to be seen, so we're hoping that we can fill that for you as well. I'm trying to think of what I should go next, but I guess I'll go. Stay tuned later this week. We got two more episodes. This is another four-episode week from Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We finally wrap up our weeks-long Halloween marathon. MMO yep. does Halloween. We're going to hit the end of that. We have two episodes left on that. The Rob Zombie ones.
And then the main event.
And then the main event, that David Gordon Green remake, which I will probably never leave the theater for, so Mike might just be recording alone that night. I can't wait to see that. And then we're right back into the swing of the Oscar season. Got a lot of new reviews coming out, a lot of OSPs on the forefront and on the horizon. Whew! Big year, big month.
Yeah, so come to us for the horror movies for the holiday here, and then we're back at it for all these Oscar movies. I'm glad we like throughout that rewatch, like we sunk our teeth into it, but we also put like an Oscar something out every week, and that was, you know, you guys have been clicking on it like crazy, so we thank you.
It's important. Yeah, I mean, the horror stuff is fun, but it's definitely a deviation. It's not our bread and butter, and it's not what we're going to do all the time just through the month of October when it's, you know, a horror month. Might have a little special for you on Halloween too. We'll see how that shapes up. But guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. You can reach out to us about any of these movies, any of the Halloween movies, any of the OSPs we've recently put out, and don't forget our 6 degrees of MMO connecting Jamie Lee Curtis to the actor from SNL, Michael Myers.
Yeah, let us know. We're going to do that soon. Probably next week. There, yeah.
Reaching out to us on Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MMN Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com, and on Reddit. Michael, let's wrap it up here. Final words of wisdom.
Thank you. I mean, we have to thank our audience today.
God,
it's easy. We absolutely had our best month ever, best week ever.
We had our best week ever, followed by our next best week ever.
Yes. So we thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All the horror. Thank you. You know, go listen to all those pods, like we said. And thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Great, great words there. We'll see you guys next time.
See
you.
Welcome to my home. In the club when the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn. I'm going to Miami. Welcome to Miami. Oh, I heard the rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip, ladies have dress.